And we continue with our special extended program of SFU Ideas and Issues. We're talking about things that have transpired related to the Simon Fraser Student Society and decisions that are in the works, and also now decision that's been taken. So we have with us Amy Laurel, who is a student employee of the SFSS General Office, the Simon Fraser Student Society General Office. Would they say hi?
Hi there.
Okay. And we also have Craig Pavelic.
Pavelic,
who is the coordinator of Out on Campus, also suspended because all the employees of the Well, you explain it to me. Which employees, because not all the employees who work for the Student Society have been locked out, but a particular group has been locked out. Do you want to start explaining that, Amy?
We are QB3338 Unit 5, and that includes the Copy Center, the General Office, the Organizing Office, Out on Campus, and the Women's Center.
There's also the Surrey Campus Office and the Finance Office as well.
Yeah.
So there's a number of coordinators and student employees who have all been locked out from their jobs.
Yeah.
So according to what I read in the Peak, which is the main source that I have of information about this so far, they said that the Student Society said that they've been in negotiation with this unit for a bargaining unit for 2 years and had not reached a satisfactory conclusion. So what can you tell me about what's been going on in terms of the negotiation, what was on the table, and what were the issues?
Well, neither of us were actually on the bargaining unit, so we can't really say exactly what all went down through the past 2 years. What it came down to currently and why we're locked out is because after 2 years of negotiations, the board took us to mediation. After mediation, they brought us a proposal that was absolutely outrageous and that we as a unit had to refuse. And so they locked us out. The refusal, I mean, was based on the ridiculous image of wage rollbacks that they were looking at, focusing on very specific areas, up to 40%, including for student employees like Amy here.
Yeah, I'm a student employee and I would be dropped. My wage would be cut 40%. And
so what is your wage and what would it be cut if they succeed in this?
My wage is $21.64 an hour, mm-hmm. which is what's earned by other administrative assistants across the country. And it would be cut, because I've had some service to the society for 2 years now, to $13, which is 40%. But anyone, any student employee hired after me would be earning $11 an hour, which is slightly over minimum wage by X amount of dollars.
But that is quite a drastic cut in,
quite the drastic
in wages.
Cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So wage cuts aren't the only thing, though, as well. I mean, they were looking at reducing staffing levels, so the number of required staff to be on hand. They, if we had signed on to that proposal, could easily have just cut Out on Campus staff, the Women's Center staff, the Surrey Campus staff, the only staff member of the Student Society who actually performs any of their functions for the Surrey Campus. The next day could have been gone. There was no job security in that way.
So you're saying that they could cut whoever they wanted to cut? Under the terms of the deal that they offered you after mediation.
Mm-hmm.
So how could a deal like this come out of mediation? I mean, what happened in the mediation that would lead to it?
Well, we were both not part of the bargaining, so I wish I could talk.
We may have somebody later on in this half hour who can speak to that more. Yeah.
But I think a lot of it has to do with the board wanting to shift, which is funny because historically the board has taken away a lot of staff position or student positions within the society. But now, from what I can tell, they want to increase student employment, which is fantastic, but pay them an unfair wage at the same time, which is contradictory to their higher tuition advocacy. Because I mean, how can we pay student employees just above bare minimum when tuition is going higher? It's completely contradictory to what they advocate for. So it's like there's an internal hypocrisy within the within the Student Society.
So does anybody know what the Student Society, I mean, their members are paid a wage. Do you know what their wages are?
of the board of directors.
Yeah.
They're actually paid a stipend. I don't know the exact stipend offhand.
Okay.
But it's not like an hourly wage per se.
It's not an hourly wage. No. Okay. No. So not comparable.
No.
But Amy, so you are a student here.
Yeah. Well, I actually just graduated.
Uh-huh.
But I'm within this weird zone where any student employee that graduates is given a grace period of a semester of employment until they can find their own way into the real world.
So, I mean, after the end of this semester, you would be leaving anyway.
I would be leaving anyway.
So so this rollback would apply. I mean, there'd be very few students who would be there more than 4 years, right? So
yeah.
The rollback would apply to a lot of people right away.
Exactly.
And you'd say they want to have $11 an hour be the wage.
$11 an hour.
Mm-hmm. That is, and from 21 to 11 is quite a large drop.
Yeah, and it's unfair. It's completely unfair. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad because my coworkers, I have two other student employees, and this is not counting the employees that are also students, but these are categorized student employees that have to deal with this after I leave.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's quite terrible.
Wow. So you've been paying your tuition with what you make?
Yes. And unfortunately, I still have, I'm just in the same boat as every other student or graduate. I'm in their same boat, in the same boat in the sense that I have I have a lot of student debt.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not escape that, unfortunately. I don't have a job lined up after this. I'm left pretty much alone in this weird vortex where I don't know what's going to happen in the future, and I don't know how long this is going to last.
So as you are locked out, that means you're not being paid.
Nope, not getting paid. I am here. I'm working as hard as I can to reach out to students, and I'm not getting paid for it. And I'm not looking. I can't look for a job because it's like, what am I supposed to do and leave everyone else behind? Like, I feel conflicted and again, like, left stranded by the students, by the board of directors.
Wow.
And Frida, you made a good point there as well, that, you know, the employees aren't being paid, they're being locked out, and it comes at a really unfortunate time for some of the employees. One of our employees currently is expecting a child in 2 months, less than 2 months.
Yeah.
So it's not a great time for him. We have another one who just had a child a few weeks ago. We have students, we have families that are being supported.
Single parents, like, yeah. We are people, and that's what the board of directors don't want you to remember, is that huge numbers that they're throwing at you, those are people's lives and their livelihoods. It's their children, it's their bills, it's everything. And it's heartbreaking to see that we're being reduced to pitchers of beer and supplies.
Now, what do you mean when you say you're being reduced to pitchers of beer and supplies?
Well, over the past 2 days of lockout, today's day three, the Student Society Board of Directors Twitter account has been essentially counting up how much they've saved in wages in the past 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, well, with this much amount of money that we've saved, we could have bought this many pancakes, or we could have bought this many free pitchers of beer for you. So essentially the work that we're doing in the various centers, and everybody has done a lot and wants to go back to doing a lot of really useful and valuable work for the society and for the students, all that work is being equated to, you know, beer, pancakes, coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not fair to us. It's insulting, because we know that the work that we're doing, and if you talk to a lot of the students that we work with, they know that the work that we do is worth a lot more than pancakes.
Yeah. Wow, even sometimes the Women's Center supplies pancakes.
Yep.
For free. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, talk about the work that the Student Society's employees actually do. What are the jobs that are included in this, and, I mean, can they... They can't continue to lock you out indefinitely, can they? I mean, they would have to do that work themselves. What are the jobs?
Well, I guess speaking on the student employees in the general office, my everyday is seeing almost every student walk by, and they come in because we're the quote-unquote general office. I get people who are not involved in the student society activities, and I help clubs, I help departmental student unions, I help anyone who comes in with questions, and I help them plan their events. And it's so funny how they equate my job to, oh, well, you know, we could have saved this much of money and I could have funded this event. But I help these groups plan these events.
Mm-hmm.
I field answers on field questions on the phone. I answer emails. Every day is sort of new for me because it's never the same and it's always hard, and I always have to do it with a level of empathy and professionalism because these people are people. Last year we, like, all the student employees in the general office were put through suicide training because simply that stuff is helpful for us dealing with students who need to use the legal clinic, people who are, like, in tight spots and they just need to have that one little ounce of help. And speaking even again in the general office, like, my coordinators, like, right now Junie and Lawrence, like, they supervise what I do, but they also are, like, mounds of resources that have been here longer than I have, longer than a lot of students have, longer than the board has been around, like, them individually. These workers have been here through graduations, and that stuff is priceless, you know, that know-how, that instinct. Their jobs are so hard. Like,
so you're saying that this is the institutional memory and it's also the face of the student society to the students?
Most definitely. We're the front lines. We're the people that students get to know, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Mm-hmm.
To talk about some of the other areas as well that are affected, mm-hmm. there's the Women's Center out on campus, both of them resource centers in the Rotunda, so just above here in CGSF. To touch on Women's Center, Nadine, the coordinator, is an amazing resource for students who have to come in. If they need crisis support, if they need referrals, if they want to volunteer with the center, do publishing, they want to work with the library, they want to run an event, they want to do a knit and bitch, they can do the Working on Male Allies project. There's all these different initiatives that are going on, and Nadine, through all of this, has been a rock for the center. To really support the students in what they want to do and support the students in their personal lives. Brittany, the Women's Center Resource Assistant, is an amazing resource to the students in the library and communications work, constantly working to make sure that the resources and information that are available for students is there for them to access. Without on campus, we have currently two coordinators. Usually it's a coordinator and an assistant, but the coordinator works with the office, with the volunteers. We train the volunteers to put on their events. We do peer support referrals. We do all sorts of work just communicating and liaising with the community at SFU and beyond. Mm-hmm. And we help provide the resources in the actual lounge itself. We work with the students who come in, both personally and on a volunteer basis, to actually offer those services, whether it's the library that they come in to use, if it's coming in to use the space as a safe space. So on campus has an inclusion policy, a confidentiality policy, and a safety policy in place, and our volunteers are trained to uphold those and have signed on to policy agreements for that.
So there's a lot of volunteer coordination going on in those organizations.
Yes, very much so. And so we actually build up those ties, not only with the volunteers, but with the wider community who want to come and access our areas. And also, we've been locked out. We can't get to our emails. We can't do any of that work. And so people are questioning, well, what's going on? Why are you being locked out? And we have to drive back to the board of directors.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, I mean, I'm asking you questions that really probably somebody from the union organizing committee should know, but is there a counter proposal being made?
See, that's the interesting thing, is that if you go on the board of directors' Twitter, which is at SFSS_directors, they have repeatedly made the tweet, hey, union, if you want to bring forth a fiscally... fiscally responsible proposal to us, well, we're more than happy to go and come back to the table. But then that means, and a lot of people don't realize that, is that they're asking the two financial coordinators, Kurt and Vanessa, to work during duress. They are being put to make some sort of solution that'll help both parties, and they're stuck and they're working hard and they don't get paid for it, and it's just unfair.
Oh, you mean so that they're working on the proposal without being salaried, even though they would have to be representing both interests?
Exactly, and that's what the board is trying to pressure them into creating something, into, I don't know, it's like putting, they word it as putting the ball in our courts, yet they have proposed something that is so ridiculous that did not include our input. Like, I don't see I don't see the train of thought being completely clear, and I don't know what they're trying to do.
So were you trying to get an increase?
Not at all.
No,
the union actually did not put forward any wage increases. Mm-hmm. They were actually willing to suspend COLA, the cost of living adjustment, where every 3 months or quarterly in the year, our wages are basically adjusted to go with the economy, with inflation.
Mm-hmm.
We were willing to suspend that. They came back and offered these huge wage rollbacks with a very small wage increase over 3 years, which would not have come anywhere near the proposal that we had, which was not anywhere near as drastic as theirs.
Was there a previous proposal that was rejected before you went into mediation?
I'm not aware of that information and not having been on the committee.
But cutting your wage by 40% was the proposal that they put on the table, and they locked you out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So looks like they learned something from what happened with the postal workers and the federal government. I mean, it certainly made a suggestion that a lockout was a fair tactic, I would think.
And don't think that this timing is unplanned. I mean, think about it. We're in the summer semester. We're after intersession. The final exams are looming, if they're not already underway. I just graduated, so. But it's a very convenient time for the board members to think, hey, let's see what we can do now while the larger student population isn't around, and see what we can do. And hey, guess what? Like, if September rolls around and we're still in a lockout, well, then I guess, I mean, we could always just return to the table, perhaps. Like, where is this line of thinking coming from?
So you're thinking they're actually tweeting it, that they're saving all the money that they would have paid the employees over the summer, and then maybe go back to the table in September when there's people around to watch?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the funny things yesterday is that one of the board directors, one of the boardies told me that there was no money to pay me. But don't tell me there's no money to pay me when you're telling the students that you're going to use the money that you're going to technically pay me with and use it towards student events. What does that mean?
So you're saying that they're implying that they don't have enough money to meet payroll anyway.
Yeah, but I don't believe that is true, and I believe our auditors have said that we had nothing to worry about in terms of paying the employees their wages.
Mm-hmm.
So you can ask the board of directors that question. By all means, ask Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't, every time one of them makes a statement, I have to ask, but you said this,
mm-hmm.
and there's no consistency except for contradiction and hypocrisy.
Oh, wow. So is there anything else you'd like to say about this? I was hoping that we would get Nadine from the Women's Center here, and also someone from the from CUPE, but it doesn't look, with 10 minutes left in the hour, as if that's going to happen. So what else would you like to say?
Well, the last thing I would add on is that there's been a really great response to this. We've been seeing a lot of support in the community, students stopping by at the picket lines to talk to us. If you look online on Facebook, there's a Facebook page, support the Simon Fraser Student Society staff.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, there's been a small group of students, really strong activists, both grad and undergrad students, have come together to organize a rally tomorrow. So that will be happening at 1 o'clock tomorrow, starting from the Reflection Pond in the AQ. I believe it'll be working its way down through Convo Mall, past the different centers and picket areas to have speakers, have demonstrations, and just essentially trying to put pressure onto the board of directors to come back to the bargaining table. As we've been saying constantly, we would love to go back to bargaining as soon as they're willing to come back and bargain for a fair settlement.
Okay, so chances are that back to the bargaining table is in your future, but the question is more when, whether you're going to go without food for 2 months or or whether...
Well, I really hope it's not that long.
Yeah, okay. So. But you think there'll be a lot more pressure in September when a lot of people are coming by the Student Society office asking for help organizing things and mm-hmm. and all of that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening, and students or staff or faculty or community members who want to get involved, by all means, come up to the rally tomorrow. Like us on the Facebook page. send in your comments. But importantly, contact the Board of Directors. Send them emails. Their emails are all available on their website, sfss.ca. Email Jeff McCann, the president. Email Keenan Midgley, the treasurer. Email Lorenz Young, the member services officer. Kevin Jang, the external relations officer. Mark Fontaine, the university relations officer. Contact them, talk to them, tell them that you want to come back to the bargaining table and to end the lockout, that you want to see these services come back, because we as employees want to come back to work. I would be much rather be inside out on campus working with my volunteers and preparing for the fall semester and preparing for the Pride Parade. But we're not. We're locked out. So email them and ccqp at sfu.ca. So that's C-U-P-E at sfu.ca. We'd love to hear all of your support and know... you know, what we've got out there. We need to put that pressure back on the Board of Directors and come back and get that fair settlement for our unit.
So again, the services that have been affected by the lockout are specifically the Student Society. And what services in the Student Society?
So that's the Copy Center. So everyone knows Nancy at the Copy Center. The General Office, the Finance Office, the Organizing Office. So that's all DSUs and Communications and Resourcing and Policy. Out on campus, the Women's Center and the Surrey campus, or the Surrey office at the Surrey campus.
So the Surrey campus is, I mean, of all places, it's not one that you, it's good to have shut down. Up here at Burnaby, we have all these different services, different offices, a lot of employees. Mm-hmm. Ed, the one employee, the Surrey campus coordinator, he does all of our work, but for the Surrey campus. He's the face of the, there is the Surrey campus committee of volunteers, mm-hmm. but it comes down to room bookings, training, communications, all of that stuff that we do up here for the students and for the volunteers. It's all done by one person, and he's currently locked out as well. So,
is there any organizing going on at the Surrey campus now?
There is. We've got the picket line down at Surrey campus, and I haven't been down there myself. It's only day three, but we will see what comes up from that as well. So, I mean, the ball is rolling, and hopefully it's just going to snowball nice and big. It'll be great.
All right. Well, we thank you very much for coming in, and Craig Pavelich and Amy Laurel, both of whom are locked out and without wages from the work that they were doing as employees of the Simon Fraser Student Society. They have refused an offer of reduction, a 40% reduction in wages from $21 an hour to $11 an hour. And they're waiting to see when negotiations will resume. And thank you. All right, we'll
thank you.
We'll have some announcements. And